It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683 and share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Mr. Les German. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Blessed and highly favored. You've heard that before, but yeah, doing good.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it this morning. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yes, I will. Lord, we just thank you for this hour of power. Lord, we just bless this time that you have given to us, Father. We just invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister, to reveal, to heal people, Lord, as they listen. We just ask you to touch every life that is listening, Father, and we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. And we this time, Father, we just give you total control, and we give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, Truth.
Truth.
Come on now.
I was praying yesterday morning before church about this, and I was thinking, well, Lord, what? And I'm telling you what, it hit me big. He said, speak on truth. And I said, okay. And so I've got a notebook. I've got some notes and stuff in, and just let me, this may be, some may think this is off topic, but I'll get around to making my point. But this was way back in November 9th of 2012. Mm. In a couple of weeks, it'll be 10 years ago. Mm. And I wrote this, and the Lord just kind of said, reminded me, we had a little dog, and I wrote this. When I have a treat in my hand, my dog will prance around, jump for joy, and will follow me around everywhere I go until I give her the treat. After the treat is given, and she knows I have no more treats, she's done with me. And walks away. And the Lord said, you know, Les, that's kind of like some of my people. You know, they follow me around until their prayers are answered, and then that's it. It's done. And that really breaks his heart. Because that's not what a daddy wants. A daddy wants the love and, you know, wants to be acknowledged that he's working for the kids, all that, you know. And so anyway. So I continued with this statement, the love of God and obedience to his commands, which is love of family, love of country, is the proper order. God, family, country. As we as a country, now this is back in 2012, we as a country are out of order and have been for some time. But God is about to restore that order. God is about to spank, I'm sorry, but he's about to spank the United States. For when character, integrity, and honesty are thrown away like yesterday's garbage, God has to act. He must act to restore those virtues. Because I really believe he's not done with the United States. I don't think he is. And then he gave me this. He said, the position of a servant's body tells his master what his intentions are. Thought this was kind of interesting. So, is the servant bowed low in submission? Is the servant so full of pride that he stands upright arms crossed, facing his master, refusing his master's commands? Or is a servant poised to attack the very master that has blessed him and sustained his own life? So I say this to say, start your day on your knees in submission to the Lord, and he'll help you stand through anything. So that may be a little off topic, but yeah, I think it. A lot of people need to be submissive to the Lord. It's okay. This walk with the Lord. It's not like Burger King. We can't have it our way.
Come on.
You know, guys, we just can't have it our way. I have counseled men that wanted to do it their way. Well, their way wasn't working, or they wouldn't have been in counseling. You know, and it just kind of upsets me, I guess, that people just tell God what they want. We want it this way, Lord. And I've actually literally have heard people, and I'm not, please don't get me wrong, I'm not judging. It's just, it's sad. But people have actually, I've heard him pray, Lord, your will be done. And then they get around, but do it this way.
Come on.
You know, it's like, are you kidding me? So, all right, so the truth. Dictionary.com says that the truth is actual state of matter. In other words, it's irrefutable. And years ago, I was a detective. I'll just tell you this real quick. When I was interviewing these suspects, I knew every answer to every question before I asked the question. I knew. And it was so funny. These guys would try to lie their way out of it, you know. And 20 minutes later, I'm back at that subject that they lied. I reformed my question so it sounded like a different question, and I'd get a different answer. Hello. You know. And you trip people up. It's pretty easy. Anyway. But John 8:32 basically says that the truth will set us free. There's, you know, we have to understand there. God wants moral absolutes, and that's kind of me. I'm kind of a black and white guy. It's either right or wrong, legal or not legal. There's no gray area in me. And some people that friends of mine, even they whatever, they just don't agree with some of that. Well. Some people say, well, there's all laws are meant to be broken at some point. Well, not in my world, you know. I'm not going to be a lawbreaker. So there's certain things that you got to understand. All right, so you eat 5 pounds of chocolate, you're probably going to gain 5 pounds. That's the truth. I'm sorry. God speaks the truth. Isaiah 25:1 says that God speaks the truth. He is the ultimate truth. So truth is facts. They're real and they're accurate. And when I was praying yesterday morning, I got this. Said Jesus is the truth revealed. Jesus is the truth revealed in the physical and spiritual. Because again, John 14:6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And he goes on to say, none will come to the Father except through me. He's the one way to the Father. And how do I say this? When someone speaks the truth, I really admire those people and I can trust them. Okay? Someone that lies to me today and then comes to me tomorrow and says, yeah, well, I kind of messed up yesterday. Please forgive. Yeah, you're forgiven. But now I got the truth today. I still question, you know, I still question them. It's going to take a long time to restore that trust. And especially in a marriage, you know, there can't be any dishonesty in the marriage because, man, the enemy will use that to the fullest degree as far as mistrust. And so someone that speaks the truth can be trusted. And over time, a strong bond can be formed. I just don't have much patience or I don't give much credence to somebody that lies all the time. I'm sorry. I just don't even want to associate with them. And then I get this, oh, well, we're Christians, we're supposed to love them. Yeah, I get that. I'll pray for them. I love them because I know God loves them. But I don't have to have a relationship with them. Because I think someone that lies all the time, they're fixing to crash and burn. I don't want to be on their vehicle when it crashes and burns, you know. If it's a business relationship or even a personal, I'm sorry. It's just people in my life I've kind of pushed out because I can't trust them, you know. And maybe that's sad. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I just want to say this, that truth is very important to us. Truth is very important to our culture, and truth is important to our God. And parents speaking truth to the kids, their kids will absolutely, that goes, I can't even just tell you how far that will go. And the kids then trusting you that what you're saying is the truth. They can trust you. If you lie to your kids and they catch you in a lie, then I'm sorry, man, that relationship is so damaged. And so really from that point on, they kind of shut you out. But if you're speaking the truth and the events prove that you are speaking the truth, then they will honor you. And the Bible tells those kids to honor your parents and you'll have a long life. I told my kids, if you don't honor me, you may not make it very long. Anyway, I'm kidding. But so that strong bond can be formed. And I think, well, I don't know. Let me say it this way. There is a difference between true and truth. Never really thought about this, but something that is true can be our perception. And what we feel is true. In other words, people have different filters in place. From male and females are different. The way we were raised sets in place different filters. So some people receive words or events through their different filters, and their truth is is what they think, you know. And we've heard this, well, my truth is different than your truth. Well, what they're talking about is true, that their feelings can be way off. And the enemy plays that up to the hilt. I mean, the enemy will capitalize on that, on our feelings, which can be fickle, which can be way off base, way wrong. We've seen it. I've seen it in counseling. I've seen it in friends and in situations. The enemy wants to escalate things. In other words, when we have a perception of what we feel is true, it starts out by us thinking, I wonder if that's true. To where eventually we think about it, and we kind of mull it around, and then it becomes, oh, I think it is true. I feel it's true. Time passes on, and then here we are. I know it's true. It's to us, it's fact. So he starts out, I wonder if it's true, to where I feel it's true, to where I know it's true. And I can't tell you the number of times we've had couples in for counseling, and one of the other thinks the other one's cheating. And we literally sent a couple. He thought his wife had cheated on him. Not just thought, he knew. He was convinced. He had convinced himself, the enemy actually, and this has started this exactly the way it escalated. He wondered, I wonder if she's having an affair, to where I'll bet she is, to where I know she is. We sent the couple. She took a polygraph, okay, a lie detector test. She passed it with flying colors. She wasn't not having an affair. This guy was so convinced that she beat the polygraph that he went ahead and divorced her, because he was convinced himself, had convinced himself, the enemy had, that she had cheated on him. I told him, from my law enforcement experience. Very few people. The reason it's not ever allowed in a courtroom situation is because about, well, I don't remember the exact percentage, but I want to say it's just like 1% or 2% of the people are so messed up in their thinking, are so, forgive me, but crazy. They don't know what's right and wrong. Since there is that smallest of percentage are so unpredictable, or in other words, they don't know what's right and wrong. They can't, you can't use the polygraph as evidence. But my point is this, 98% of us either going to pass it or flunk it. She's not crazy. This gal was not crazy. Yeah, okay, she was not. She knew right from wrong, but she passed it. So I told this young man, I said, she didn't beat the polygraph, she passed it. There's a big difference. But nothing. He said, no, she had an affair, I'm going to divorce her, which is so sad. But you see how strong, he wouldn't hear the truth. She passed it. She's telling the truth. Accept it. But he had so much time invested in his thought process and his thought life that she had cheated, and so he was done with her. And I want to tell you something, people, that brings on generational curses. Those kids now are wounded. Mm-hmm. So is his wife, but those kids are very wounded because of he would not accept the truth. She didn't cheat. And what really, kind of a side note, but what really, really angers me is when people like him say, well, my kids are tough, they're resilient, they'll get through this. And I just almost unleashed on him because I said, I'm going to tell you something. We counsel people 40 and 50 years old that are still dealing with their parents' divorce. So don't tell me your kids aren't going to be wounded. They're already wounded because you guys have separated. And, oh, it's just... Anyway, get me started on that. So that's the way the enemy does it. And we have to shut the door to that thought process, because it will escalate, promise you. That's what he wants. He wants to blow up marriages because he knows how powerful a husband and wife praying together in one flesh. That's what God calls us, one flesh. The enemy knows how powerful they are when they're praying about something. And I really believe this. God will move the stars in heaven to answer those prayers. For a mom and dad praying over those kids, praying together for a situation, I'm telling you, God is right there. And the enemy hates it. That's why he wants to, you know, you've heard this 100 times, divide and conquer. That's exactly what the enemy likes to do. So what was he doing there? He's dividing the truth. The truth was set aside, and this guy believed a lie. So sad. So that's true. True is our perception of what we feel is true. And our feelings can be way off. And the enemy, that gives the enemy power. And what's the word? That allows the enemy to camp out in your backyard to mess with you. So, and Paul writes in Corinthians, take captive all thoughts. So that's something that we have got to do. We've got to understand that it starts... I forget, God forgive me, but I forget the psychologist, but he calls it a T-cycle, T-E-A. Our behavior starts with thoughts. We dwell on the thoughts, and then it turns into emotions. We dwell on those emotions, then turns into actions, T-E-A. Thoughts, emotions, actions. And it doesn't have to be negative. It can be very positive. But that's kind of the process. And so I think the psychologist nailed it. I really believe that's where Paul warns us, that we are to take captive all thoughts, because that's where the enemy has an inroad and starts the process. So shut the door to that negative thought process. Lord, just download this. I want to say something to somebody out there that's really, Lord wants you to know something. Well, he's telling you right now, whoever is listening, maybe more than one, but I just got this download. Lord wants you to stop the self-condemnation.
Amen.
Whew. You're worthy, because what Jesus did on the cross for you, You're worthy. So stop believing the lie. The truth is, Jesus loves you. He would not have went to the cross if he hadn't have loved you. And you're the total focus of God's love and attention. So you're a big deal in the kingdom of God. So stop the pettiness of self-condemnation, because you're better than that. So Lord, whoever that is that you just put on my mind, I just, Father, I just ask you, give them an open heaven. Give them an open heaven. I'm just going to pray, and we're all going to be in agreement. We just come against the enemy's attack. We cancel the assignment, Satan. We break your power off of them in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we ask you, set warring angels around them to protect their mind, their will, and emotions. And give them that open heaven, Lord, so they feel your love. And that they see your truth, Lord, in their life. That they are kingdom advancers. That's why the enemy's coming after them so big, so much. They're kingdom advancers, and he's trying to stop that. So, Lord, I bless their life in Jesus' name. Understand something, people. Satan has his plan A is to keep us from heaven. Okay? So if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, acknowledge that you're a sinner, and you've invited Jesus into your life, then you are saved. So Satan blew that plan, right? So what's his next? His plan B then is to keep us from advancing God's kingdom, to keep us beat down, so busy, even doing God's work, so busy here, there, 14 different directions. I'm doing what? No, stop for a second. Slow down. What's God telling you to do? But that self-condemnation is huge. The enemy plays that up to the hilt. So be careful. That's kind of off track, but anyway, somebody apparently needed it.
That's on time. I needed that. I take that.
That was for you?
I take that.
Right, for a lot of us, yeah.
Yeah, I take that. When I first came, for me personally, when I made the decision, I made up my mind. I came to a place where I made my mind up. And someone had to speak some hard truth to me, because in my mind, that was not right at the time. I thought I knew, you know, oh, they're thinking this. Well, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that I knew. And then I had someone bold enough and someone that loved me enough to say, hey, sister, you got some stinking thinking going on up there.
Yep.
And you don't know it all.
Yeah.
So that thought that comes into your mind that says, you know what they're thinking, that's some stinking thinking. Yep. And it threw me back a minute. You know what I mean? I had to catch my breath,
yeah,
if you will, you know, and marinate in that truth. And then ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me, to show me, where's my stinking thinking.
Right.
Because I don't like it. If it's stinking, I don't want it.
That's right.
If it don't line up, I don't want it. And that was just me not being in my right mind for so long, if that makes sense.
Right.
And then when I did surrender it to the Holy Spirit, to God, then God ministered to the Holy Spirit, told the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was like, hey, sis, you don't know it all. You are not a mind reader. Come on. You don't see people's heart, and you really need to flush some of that because it stinketh.
Yep. Yep. And all right, so when this person spoke truth to you, see, let me throw this out. There's a difference between criticism and correction. Mm-hmm. Criticism rips and tears at the core of the person. Mm-hmm. It damages the soul. Actually puts its sin against us. It really is. If you criticize, mm-hmm. But everybody needs correction from time to time. Okay? So what you do is you target the behavior, leave the core person intact. Talk about the behavior in a loving way, and that's apparently what this person did, yes, because you received it. Yeah. Had they been in your face yelling and screaming, and you would not have received it. You would have defended yourself, because that's just the human nature. But I'm telling you, people, there's a difference between criticism and correction. Mm-hmm. So be very careful. Target the behavior. Leave the core person intact. And lower your voice and slow your speech, and you always brings in peace if you stay there. I've learned. Amen. So, anyway, all right. I guess I need to continue. But so here's the deal. Truth. So true is our perception, what we feel is true. But truth is it stands alone. You know, truth is not our opinion a lot of times. But truth stands alone. It's not open for debate. You know, when I was a police officer, I had, and it is God 100%, but I had the reputation that what I'm going to say is, it's it. I've got facts to back it up. And I had a very high conviction rate when I was a detective because God showed me stuff. I'm telling you, I give him 100% glory and credit for it. And I'd be on the witness stand, and I'd trip up the defense attorneys many times. I mean, I can tell you stories, but it's funny. I kind of like courtroom drama, actually. But they knew that Detective Les German was going to tell the truth, and I had facts to back it up, to where some attorneys would go, and they'd up in Kansas, but once a month they had to take indigent cases. And in other words, people couldn't afford an attorney, but the state said you will take one case a month like that. So these guys would go into the DA's office. Well, I guess I need to get my indigent case done. Who worked that one? German? We'll just plead the guy. They didn't even want to go up against me. And I give God, you understand, it's not a pride thing, it's responsibility. I sought the Lord in a lot of different cases. So, okay. So I read somewhere, and this is so true, that lies just delays the truth. The truth will always prevail. Oh, I can't tell you how many times these guys, these criminals, would say, oh, I thought, you know, I'm smarter than you guys, but here they are sitting in handcuffs. Are you kidding? Yeah, it kind of comes around, doesn't it? So truth delays the truth. I'm sorry, lies delays the truth, and truth always prevails. And I thought, man, that is so true. So here's the deal. You tell a lie, then later, when you're questioned, you're going to be telling another lie to cover up the first lie. Then later, you'll be telling the third lie to cover up the other two lies, and pretty soon, you're so messed up and so mixed up, you can't remember what you told the first time. And therein lies, you'll get tripped up. But what happens? Lies, especially, I hate to say this, but gosh, in today's world, man, that's just almost a common theme, is people just lie just when they don't even have to. So I know this is evil. excuse me. I know the Jesus called Satan the father of lies. There's no good in him. So lies from our leaders actually destroys the fabric of our culture, our society. It absolutely obliterates any trust we have with them. Well, I can't trust them. They lie, bold-faced lie right there, you know, and then it's proven, and there's no consequences. It really upsets me. But it shreds the fabric of our culture and our society. And I think it's so sad. And you just can't believe somebody. Well, I lied yesterday, but today I'm telling the truth. Yeah, right. I'm telling you, folks, I just can't trust them. And there's so many biblical references to the truth. And I don't know. Gosh, I can just go through all. But God wants us to speak the truth. And I hate to say this in counseling. There's some people that didn't want the truth.